joining us today for this latest update on the COVID-19 public health emergency in the state of Arkansas. First, let me recognize Dr. Nate Smith, who traditionally joins me for this, as well as A.J. Geary, our director of ADEM, Emergency Management, and then today Dr. Cam Patterson. I've asked him to be here to talk about some of the PPE procurements that have been successful here in Arkansas. First, in terms of the update, yesterday we had 643 cases in Arkansas with 66 hospitalized. Today we had 61 cases, so now we have 704 cases in Arkansas with 71 hospitalized and no new deaths. Let me make a couple of comments today. First of all, we received our first shipment of hospital protective gear. And this is something that we've been waiting for after we've invested money through the procurement. It's been a real challenge for us. UAMS procurement team has done an amazing job in facilitating this, and Dr. Patterson will go into detail on it, but this is so needed by our hospitals, our medical professionals, and so this shipment actually arrived today, and it's our first shipment of hospital protective gear that we've received from our own procurement. We've received them previously from the national stockpile. Secondly, I would make the observation that our testing continues to increase here in Arkansas. Overall, we've done almost 10,000 tests here in the state, and of the tests that we have done, 7.3% have been positive, which means, of course, that almost 83% of the tests that we've done has been negative. One question I get is, well, are we testing enough? And we always want to do more. But clearly, we have done more than sufficient testing to put us in a comparable position with the growth rate in other states. And secondly, it is more than sufficient to give us a good handle on where we are here in Arkansas. And in fact, in every county, we've had tests done. And I'm very pleased that UAMS has implemented a mobile testing unit that they have taken to a couple different sites across the state that might not be as reached in the normal testing protocols. And Dr. Patterson will be able to talk about those mobile labs as well. And then finally, our social distancing is so critically important. And as we've talked about it and the importance of it in our targeted response, it's caused me to check more as to how businesses are doing and how individuals are doing. And I've been very impressed with how seriously businesses have taken the social distancing requirements. And this is critically important for us to be successful. They've taken it seriously. Individually, I want more people to take it seriously. They've got to understand the urgency of it, that this is not something to be casual about. This is something that every person in Arkansas should feel the need to contribute to be responsible for, and to engage in. And that's what we're asking Arkansans to do, is simply to follow these best practices. And they're working. We want you to continue to do that, and it'll make all the difference for every citizen in Arkansas and everyone's lives that we care so deeply about. With that, Dr. Smith, if you come and give us your report.
Thank you, Governor. I'd like to give a little bit more detail on the numbers for today. As the Governor mentioned, we are at 704 cases total. That's 61 more than we reported yesterday. We have one new county, Monroe County. Of those, the gender breakdown is as it has been before. It's about 60% female and 40% male. And the racial breakdown is similar to what it's been before, 70% white, 20% African American, and the remaining ones are other. In terms of age breakdown, we still have 20 children age less than 18. We have 197 older Arkansans age 65 or older, and then 487 aged 18 to 64. I'm going to talk about some of the comorbid conditions, some of the underlying medical conditions later in just a moment, but I'd like to give the number of hospitalized, which is currently 71. That's up 5 from yesterday. We have 26 who are on a vent. That's up 3 from yesterday. We have 39 who have ever been on a ventilator, and 5 of those have successfully come off a ventilator, and unfortunately 9 of those have passed away. We have a total of 12 deaths, which is the same as yesterday. We have 60 that have recovered. In terms of healthcare, nursing home residents, we have 53. That's up 2 from yesterday, and healthcare workers is 96. That's up 5 from yesterday. Of the healthcare workers, we have 10 physicians, 28 nurses, and 4 certified nurse assistants, CNAs, and then the rest are either licensed or unlicensed healthcare workers or unknown. Of the 12 that have passed away, I gave the age breakdown yesterday. 8 of those are age 65 or older, and 4 are age 19 to 64. I'd also like to give the geographic region. Of our deaths, the majority of them have resided in central Arkansas, 6. We have 3 who resided in northwest, 2 in northeast, and 1 unknown. I would like to talk a little bit about the nursing home. We had 2 additional positive cases in nursing homes. Both of those were in Lakes of Maumelle nursing home. I would like to talk a little bit about testing. The governor mentioned that we've done almost 10,000. To give you an exact number, we've done 9,626 total reports, lab reports, and of those, 7.3% were positive. For yesterday, we had a total of 658 reports, of which 4.9% were positive. Of those 658, 62 were done by UAMS, 144 were done by the Arkansas Department of Health Public Health Lab, and 452 were reported by commercial labs. I'd like to talk a little bit about underlying medical conditions. I've been asked about that specifically. People are interested. There was a national report that was published by CDC in their MMWR, Morbidity Mortality Weekly Report, and that showed that COVID-19 patients who are not hospitalized, 27% had one or more underlying medical conditions. When you look at those who were hospitalized but not in an ICU, that jumps up to 71%. And of those who were admitted to the ICU, 78% had one or more underlying medical conditions. I don't have all those numbers for Arkansas specifically, but I want to talk about some specific conditions here. Diabetes. Of our cases, all of our cases, all of our 704 cases, 8.5% have diabetes. When you look at those of our cases who have been hospitalized, though, it's 30% have diabetes. And when you look at those who have been admitted to the ICU, it's 38% have had diabetes. Another important underlying medical condition is heart disease. Overall, 7.7% of our COVID-19 cases have had known heart disease. But when you look at our hospitalized patients, it's 23%. And when you look at those who are admitted to the ICU, it's 27%. And the last one I'd like to look at today is chronic lung disease. 4.4% of all of our COVID-19 patients have had chronic lung disease, but of those hospitalized, it's 14%, and of those who are admitted to the ICU, it's 16%. And I'm going to go ahead and give you a bonus one. We'll talk about chronic kidney disease as well, because that's been an issue as well. Only 2.1% of all of our COVID-19 patients have had chronic kidney disease, but of those hospitalized, it's been 8%, and of those admitted to the ICU, it's been 11%. So it's very important for those Arkansans who have one or more medical conditions to make sure that they're taking care of themselves well. Also, we know that tobacco is a risk factor for chronic lung disease and chronic heart disease, and so this is a great time to give up that habit. Our Be Well Arkansas website and phone number provides help for both tobacco cessation, but also for management of diabetes and other chronic diseases. So I want to refer people to that. This is a good time to get as healthy as you can. And I'm going to say, normally when I give health messages, it's the women who pay the most attention. And maybe they should, because I've mentioned that about 60% of our COVID-19 patients are women. But when we look at those hospitalized, it's 53% are men. And of those who are in the ICU, it's 62% men. So men, this is a time to become the healthiest version of yourself, because if you become infected with COVID-19, that will increase your chance of survival. So if you have a chronic medical condition, it's the time to make sure that it's as well controlled as possible. And if you're if you have some unhealthy habits like tobacco use or excess alcohol use, this is a good time to address that. And again, Be Well Arkansas can help. Thank you.
When Dr. Smith comes to my office, sometimes I ask him, what's on your mind? And his answer is data. And it's clear that he believes in data, and rightfully so, because it's data and science that guides our decisions. Dr. Patterson, you've been very helpful to us in terms of our PPE procurement, but also our testing. Would you come address that?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you, Governor Hutchinson. I also want to thank the Department of Health and the Department of Emergency Management for helping us work across the state to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. Governor Hutchinson mentioned personal protective equipment, and I wanted just to give you a sense of where we are. You will recall last weekend when I said we were going to be getting our first procured PPE shipments in on Thursday. That has slipped to today, but I am happy to tell you that as of an hour ago, PPE that we have procured is now sitting in the federal surplus facility in North Little Rock. So we'll be working with the Department of Emergency Management to begin to distribute the PPE that we have acquired. Today we receive gloves and masks from overseas, and also hand sanitizer that was sourced from here in the United States. We'll continue to get shipments throughout next week. We are at the mercy of being on FedEx cargo, so those shipments are likely to vary during the course of next week. And then we have chartered a cargo flight scheduled to leave Saturday, April 11th, and returning Sunday, April 12th. And if we're able to keep that on track, Governor, we'll be able to deliver you 30 days worth of personal protective equipment for the state of Arkansas. We have additional production time that we have procured to continue to produce personal protective equipment. So once we have those supplies in on the 12th, I think we'll be in a good position going forward. I want to give everybody a sense of the difficulty in making all this happen. This all starts with making purchases of this equipment. Now, these purchases, especially if they're occurring in China, happen in the middle of the night. And then the people who are making those purchases have to come back to work the next day and implement the paperwork on our side. So our procurement teams are literally working around the clock to make all this happen. And with all due respect, Governor Hutchinson, the person on the right side of this picture is Curtis Broughton, who is, I think, the most important person in the state of Arkansas right now. He's our assistant vice chancellor for procurement, and he's the person who is making these deals happen at a price point that will make this sustainable for the people of Arkansas. Now, once we purchased it, that's not the end of the story. We have to arrange shipping. We have to get this equipment through customs on both sides, and the slowest part of customs right now is in China. Because there are so many bad actors who are trying to make PPE available. The government of China is being exceptionally rigorous in vetting material that is coming out of China right now. So that's a big breakpoint for us. Obviously, the shipping capacity coming from China to the United States is simply being overwhelmed right now. So we're competing with everything else that people are trying to ship into the United States. And frankly, FedEx will tell you that their ability to track goods that are coming over from China right now is being overwhelmed. So we literally don't get tracking numbers until material is physically in the United States right now. So it's just very difficult for us to ascertain on a day-to-day basis how all this is coming and going. But having said all that, we breathe a sigh of relief now that we see that the spigot has been opened and the equipment is coming in, and we look forward to working with Adam to make sure that we give this material over to them so they can allocate that to the people who are most in need. Now, I want to mention one thing, though. Not everything that we are procuring is coming from overseas. I mentioned the hand sanitizer. And the hand sanitizer is actually being made by L'Oreal. L'Oreal approached us and said, how could we help you? And we said, well, the one thing that we need is hand sanitizer. L'Oreal said, we do not and have never made hand sanitizer. But L'Oreal is committed to the state of Arkansas to provide us with 550 gallons a week of hand sanitizer for healthcare professionals in the state, free of charge. And that's an example of people stepping up to the plate and coming together and making this all happen. So we cannot thank them enough. I also want to thank the Arkansas Heart Hospital, which is going to be collaborating with us and with the Department of Emergency Management to help get some of these materials out to clinics that are difficult for us to reach out to directly. And then lastly, I'd like to finish by telling you a little bit more about the news that Governor Hutchinson shared about our mobile testing unit. I know some communities do have concerns that that there are not good opportunities to have testing performed in their community. So we put together a mobile testing unit. It's a van. It's being directed by Jennifer Hunt, who's our director of our pathology and laboratory medicine program at UAMS. The first foray out into the field yesterday was in Helena. We weren't sure how this would go. It turns out it went very smoothly. We screened 123 individuals in Helena. 30 of those individuals were tested, and I don't have test results back from them today. We should be getting them later on today. I have my fingers crossed that they're all negative, and we'll be going out into other communities next week to make sure that we meet the testing demand for people here in the state of Arkansas. So, Governor Hutchinson, I appreciate everything that you have done to support these efforts. We appreciate working with the Department of Finance and Administration. And again, I want to shout out to the Department of Emergency Management and the Department of Health for the great work that they and their teams are doing.
That's a super report. So let me turn it over for questions you might have.
I guess what's our backlog in testing right now?
Well, I'll let them answer that, but the Department of Health is current. They do that overnight. The UAMS does theirs overnight. In terms of the commercial labs, we don't have any way to control that, but they have a three-day delay, something like that, in their reporting. So that would be their backlog.
Yes, Yesterday, both you and the Municipal League issued statements reaffirming that only ADH and you have the authority to issue stay-at-home orders. Obviously, Benton, the city, and Saline County issued that order for juveniles. The city maintains that it has the authority to do that. Can you just give us a plain answer? Do Benton and Saline County have the authority to issue this order for juveniles?
Well, they don't have authority to block commerce, and I think that's probably a little bit of the gray area as to whether are you blocking commerce by having a curfew for juveniles. My answer is no, and we're pleased with that local response to what I believe is a unique issue that they are facing. They wanted to make that decision, but it doesn't block commerce, and that's what is reserved as the power for the state and with the Department of Health. I'll be talking Monday with all the municipal and county officials where we go over that. The key thing is to coordinate with us, and we have a very good coordination with the officials and communication pattern, and I think it's fitting well together. So that is the key differentiator, is whether it blocks commerce or not. My judgment, it doesn't. What they have done, we approve of that, but we certainly want to coordinate that in the future.
Any news on getting ventilators?
They are in the procurement chain. I don't want to get too optimistic about it because they can be diverted. We can be outbid. We could be met with disappointment along that way. But the procurement team has placed an order for ventilators, and we hope that we'll be successful in that. Yes?
We've been contacted by health professionals who are concerned that some deaths, maybe recorded for one thing, might be COVID because of what they have observed. Do you have any idea? Are you looking into any deaths to see if, check the diagnosis?
I know on one occasion that happened and it came back negative, but I'll let Dr. Smith talk further on that.
We're pretty comfortable with the numbers that we have now. It's possible that someone could have died from COVID-19 and was never tested. There are some cases in which people were tested, but the results were not back before they passed away, and so we've had to wait for those results. I'm not concerned about a lot of people out there who have died of unrecognized COVID-19.
Do we have a finite number of tests that the state can perform per day? Or maybe not necessarily a finite number, but an exact number?
Go ahead, Dr. Smith.
Well, there is a theoretical maximum that we could if we had all three of our platforms up and running and unlimited supply of reagents for our automated extractor, and that is in the hundreds. But as you all know, there have been reagent supplies and delays, and so I think we're doing pretty well. We're hitting over 100 pretty consistently. We will continue to increase that as much as we can, but it's unpredictable when we'll run into reagent delays or outages.
Let's have you, AMS, give the same perspective on your testing capability.
Yeah, so I concur with everything that Dr. Smith said. We get reagents on a daily basis. We get, for instance, from GMARC, a kit that will do 12 assays, and some days we get 5 kits in, some days we get 10 kits in. We order many more than that. We are simply at the mercy of competing with a national supply chain for this. We continue to look for ways that we can source reagents that will remove bottlenecks, but that's the biggest limitation right now. Now, you know, we do value doing the tests in state because for a couple of reasons. One, it's much easier to track. We know both the numerator and the denominator there. Also, the turnaround time is much more rapid. So both with positive and negative results, that gives us the opportunity to take action for individual patients. If it's a positive result, obviously thinking about treatment, but a negative result also frees up resources for other people. So in the same way that Curtis Broughton is working around the night to get personal protective equipment, he's working around the clock to get the reagents that we need for these assays.
Any way to measure the gap, if there is one? I assume there is, between the number that we are presently able to test and those you would ideally test.
Well, you know, I think the gap changes depending on how broadly you say that someone should be tested. You know, if you wanted just to say anybody who wanted to be tested could be tested, you know, we'd probably be doing 3 million tests a week in the state of Arkansas. You know, if we had the ability to do more tests, we would broaden the indications for doing the tests. So to me, I get what you're trying to say, but, you know, trying to calculate that gap to me is kind of a meaningless exercise because that depends on how broadly you're trying to wrap your hands around the people who might want to test.
How closely are you working with the commercial labs? Because we're hearing from patients that it's taking 10 to 14 days to get test results from the commercial lab, some of them experiencing even longer delays than that, versus you guys obviously are working overnight and getting results quickly.
Well, you know, and that creates anxiety. It takes away resources that could be diverted to other people. So, you know, we totally get that. You know, we've been on the phone with Quest, with LabCorp, to try to increase the turnaround time, especially when we see that, you know, getting the result would be actionable for us. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that's even more murky water than some of the other issues that we're dealing with because, you know, it's a situation where you can't talk to somebody who has power when they've got a million tests that are backlogged. They just don't even know where that test is in their backlog, and they can't tell you.
Governor, you activated the National Guard, and we just heard some updates on shipping issues. We have a thing of C-130s up in Jacksonville. Is any of that being used to kind of ship things or move it around the state, the National Guard, or I guess internationally too?
In terms of the National Guard, they've been a great resource for us. I authorized an additional number that will be utilized for logistics and for distribution of the personal protective equipment as is needed. And so we're utilizing them from logistical planning for our hospital space to distribution, and they'll be authorized as needed for other purposes. In terms of, I've thought about that myself when we're trying to get that product back from China, we prefer to use FedEx freight, FedEx whenever we can. They've dedicated a cargo plane for us, and I think beyond that, it will take a presidential directive probably to utilize that type of assets in an international venue.
Sure. Yeah, so we've looked into that as well, and you know, frankly, the Chinese government does not want U.S. military planes landing in China. But I would say that people have found creative solutions, and if there's one thing that we need, it's more cargo capacity. You heard about the New England Patriots sending a plane of theirs to pick up personal protective equipment and bring it back to the United States, and I'll just go ahead and make an appeal. If anybody has resources that they could divert to help us with transporting personal protective equipment from overseas into the United States, that's the number one thing that we could use right now. And if I could move a September 11th cargo date up to our April 11th cargo date up to April 6th or 7th, we'd do that in a heartbeat.
Is there any part of the state that's more in need of testing?
Well, we've covered every county in our testing, and of course, recently what went to Helena, and we've gone to other parts of the state. So as there's a need, we will address that and send them out there. But right now, we're getting testing from every part of the state. And also, you think about, you know, the commercial labs. That is available in every part of the state as you go into for your test. So I think it is. I've talked to Texarkana, and UAMS is also making a facility available, and they're starting testing there, and they felt good about what's happening there in terms of testing. Yes, ma'am.
So you're confident that our curve is not being affected by a lack of testing, that if we could test as much as we would like to, that it wouldn't change that curve of infection rate?
I'm going to let Dr. Smith take that one.
I feel like at this point we have a good sample, so we know our trajectory. We don't know. We haven't identified everyone who is infected with COVID-19 in Arkansas. That would be ideal, because if we knew every single case as soon as they were infected. But we have, enough of a sample with close to 10,000 tests to understand the geography and the slope of that curve. Also, the slope, the trajectory of our cases mirrors the trajectory of our hospitalizations. And hospitalizations, although we might miss cases of people walking out there with no symptoms or mild symptoms, we're not missing hospitalizations. When people come in with symptoms, they do get tested. And what we're seeing there mirrors what we're seeing in our cases as well.
Can you talk about the SBA loans? Obviously, that kind of came up today. There were some last-minute changes for our banks overnight reissuing. Can you just tell us about how that process is working for our small businesses in Arkansas today?
Well, everybody's frustrated right now because the small business person is very anxious to get the loan that they need to keep their employees online, but also to keep their business alive. The bankers are anxious because they're willing to make those loans. They just need to have the guidance from the federal government. And so we're all waiting on that guidance. Last night they received some, but it wasn't sufficient, so they're continuing to wait. I know it's a humongous task, but it's that's the linchpin of it. That's the beginning of it, to get that guidance from the federal government. Once that happens, then the banks are ready to go. Small businesses are in great need of that. I would emphasize to everyone that we have those bridge loans available through our economic development. And so if you're waiting on a SBA loan, also talk to your bank or call AEDC about a bridge loan to help you to get to the point that you can get your SBA loan. We have loans that are up to $250,000, and then we have even smaller loans up to $25,000 to help the small, very small business person get over a hump and to stay alive until you can get the larger loan.
Governor, I guess every news office in the state has received numerous inquiry complaints, pleas for help about getting unemployment benefits and the delay and the technical aspects of it. Is there any so in their behalf? Can you assure that these are can you assure these Arkansans that the machinery is working as well as it possibly can under the circumstances? Do you have adequate resources, adequate personnel, additional phone lines?
The answer is we're giving Department of Commerce and our unemployment office all the resources that they can possibly absorb to address this flood of unemployment applications. I got briefed on that again today, and I believe they've trained 20 to 40 new workers in answering the phone call. We've transferred personnel there. We've also have a third-party vendor that helping us in relieving the pressure from the call centers. But then very importantly, we were able to get the IT glitch fixed that bumped a number of applications out. And when that glitch was fixed, all of those applications went through, which were tens of thousands of applications. And whenever those went through, our call volume decreased enormously the next day. And so that's a sign of progress, and I hope that that relieves some of the challenge that everybody's facing. Let me take a question from those that are listening remotely. Is there a question that we have? Katie?
Yeah. Hey, Governor, can you hear me? This is Andrew with AP.
Yes. Andrew, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes. I wanted to see what you thought about the comments that Dr. Fauci made this morning where he said he doesn't understand why all states are not under stay-at-home orders, and whether you're reconsidering your stance on that, given his comments. And also, you, in your Twitter chat that you had done yesterday, you seemed to raise the possibility of doing something that wouldn't be statewide, something that would be by county or by region. Want to give a better explanation, is that a possibility that you're looking at rather than doing a full statewide stay-at-home order?
No, I'd have to look at that Twitter. It was an online Twitter chat room, I think, that and so one of them might slip through, but that doesn't sound exactly right. In terms of Dr. Fauci's statement, you've got to have some sympathy for him, a lot of sympathy for him, and respect for the challenge he has in front of him with New York and the incredible disheartening tragedy that's happening there in that city with the pressure from Connecticut and the Maryland area. That's what he's visually looking at and thinking about every day, and with what's happened on the West Coast as well. And so it's understandable that he looks at that as a solution, a nationwide shutdown order. What's important is that that has not been given. The CDC, I watch their guidelines regularly, and they have not indicated that's an appropriate or necessary step across the country. And so we'll continue to look at those guidelines that's offered from the federal level. I made my statement yesterday as to why we are where we are. Our targeted approach, I think you see it day in and day out, is proven to be a good approach for Arkansas. And with that, it's an important question. I'm going to ask Dr. Smith if he has a further comment on that.
I think, as we all know, Dr. Fauci is an outstanding scientist. I can't think of anyone who's held in higher esteem and respect, including by me. And I think what Dr. Fauci has been saying on behalf of our country should be listened to. Now, when it comes specifically to what we should be doing in Arkansas, I would really love if Dr. Fauci had the time and energy to come down and we could go through our numbers together and talk through it explain realistically how much more we could expect with a stay-at-home order and how much that would cost us. As I look at those numbers, it seems like we're doing at least as well as any other state. So there doesn't seem to be a compelling reason to do a stay-at-home order here in Arkansas. Again, Arkansas is not the same as New York City or some of these other parts of the country. Actually, if Dr. Fauci could come down here and stand with the governor every day and advise him, I'd be happy to sit down. But what we're doing is making the best decisions for Arkansas based on what we're seeing here, what we know about where we've been and where we seem to be going with this epidemic. And I certainly would not dispute anything that Dr. Fauci said about the country as a whole, but I don't think he was specifically talking about Arkansas.
Are you guys tracking smokers as part of your statistical data?
As you can imagine, the amount of information we have on each person who gets tested is somewhat limited, and the amount of time it takes to get the additional information on those who test positive means that there's a significant delay. I would love to have real-time information on smoking status. We have to depend on studies that have been done elsewhere. We know that smoking is a major risk factor for bad outcomes, hospitalizations, even deaths from COVID-19. How bad it is has ranged from studies. There's one study that showed that smokers were 14 times as likely to have bad outcomes as non-smokers. Others have shown less, but all of them are showing that smoking is a risk factor for a bad outcome with COVID-19.
When you get put on the vent, some of the numbers that you gave us, that 9 have died and only 5 successfully taken off, that does that indicate that the recovery rate is just extremely low if you get put on, or is it just a long process and we don't know yet?
The trajectory, how a person does, really depends a lot on the underlying conditions. If the person is very old and has bad lungs or bad heart to begin with, then their chances are low before they even go on a vent. Someone who is healthier going into it, they're more likely to come off the vent. Again, this is most of the people who end up in the hospital do have underlying medical conditions, oftentimes multiple medical conditions.
All right, we have time for two more questions, one from the table and one from remote.
I think was it over the weekend or maybe earlier in the week, you talked about a need for a more robust awareness program.
Yes.
What I was just curious what the Department of Health is. I mean, are they going to we're going to see football coaches and basketball coaches?
Well,
actually, bring awareness to it, or is it you?
Well, first of all, we've utilized social media in a voluntary way. I applaud both the University of Arkansas coaches as well as the Arkansas State University coaches that have gone online and done social media reminding young people, particularly social distance. And I made the comment, if you want to get back to basketball, exercise social distancing, we'll get there quicker. And so they've been very helpful with that. But we also have authorized a paid media campaign to emphasize social distancing, and we're working that up. That will engage both in online advertising as well as other mediums. And then the remote, do we have a question, remote?
Yeah, Governor, the legislative leaders have said they're going forward as planned with the fiscal session. They hope to wrap it up in less than 2 weeks' time. This question also for you and Dr. Smith. How do you all plan on approaching that? Do you think they need to go even further with social distancing or any other measures, given the fact that you've got two lawmakers who have tested positive? And Governor, for you specifically, I guess, how are you going to approach it? Are you going to be addressing, a joint session of the legislature? How do you approach this going forward?
We are absolutely going to use in a very disciplined fashion social distancing. They did that in the last session very appropriately and with great distance in the Stevens Center as well as in the Senate chambers. That will continue. I've spoken with both leadership. We have to have the session, but also budget-wise, we need to have the session. And in terms of my role, I will be giving my State of the State address to a joint session, which will be joint only by about 4 miles. I will be speaking in the Senate chamber, and it'll be broadcast remotely to the House chamber in the Stevens Center. But that's important to set the stage for the session, and that's at the invitation of the General Assembly, of course. But all of the social distancing guidelines will be emphasize, and we're being careful. No one wants to cross the line. No one wants to endanger themselves or family or the work that we're doing. So we're trying to set the example, but also we're concerned about the health of our loved ones. And do you have anything to add, Dr. Smith?
We're looking at that very closely. Our Department of Health a medical director for infectious diseases, Dr. Naveen Patil, is working with me, and we have some ideas that we might suggest to make it even safer. We'll just see what's feasible.
Dr. Smith, is there a level, a point in the arc at which you would clinically recommend to the governor that he impose a stay at home? A critical mass point, I guess.
Anything is possible. I don't have a particular number in mind. We really would need to look at the trajectory and what benefit we are seeing in other states that we're not getting here in Arkansas. So the short answer to your question is, of course, the governor has always been open to input on this and other issues, but I don't have a particular number or trigger on that. But certainly if it looks like other states are doing better than we are with different policies, whether it's stay-at-home orders or something else, we want to adopt those.
Thank you very much today. Oh, and by the way, I'll just tomorrow we will be looking at some best practices in Arkansas in terms of social distancing by businesses. And then we'll also be announcing some additional enforcement actions in terms of what we're trying to accomplish through our targeted response to this COVID-19 urgent circumstance. Thank you.